வாசுதேவேந்திர யோகீந்திரம் நத்வா ஞானப்ரதம் குரும் முமுக்ஷூணாம் ஹிதார்த்தாய தத்வபோதோபிதீயதே. Until now we have seen separately ஜீவஸ்வரூபம் being consciousness, then ஈஸ்வரஸ்வரூபம் being existence, and this existence, the swarupam of Ishvara, is the same, non-different from the swarupam of Jiva obtaining name of pure consciousness. Evam cha, 71st sentence, Jiva Ishvarayoho சைத்தன்ய ரூபேன அபேதே பாதக அபாவஹ. See, the truth of Jiva and Ishvara is one and the same consciousness. Therefore, there is no difference. Now, 72nd sentence I'm going to read.
ஏவம்ச வேதாந்த வாக்யைஹி வேதாந்த வாக்யைஹி சத்குரு உபதேசேன சத்குரு ப்ளஸ் உபதேசேன சத்குரு உபதேசேன சத்குரு உபதேசேன becomes சத்குரு உபதேசேன சத்குருபதேசேன சத்குரோ உபதேசேன சத்குரு உபதேசேன சத்குரு உபதேசேன சத்குரோ உபதேசேன ஏவம் இன் திஸ் மேனர் அண்ட் உபதேசேன பை டீச்சிங் ஆஃப் சத்குரு இஸ் எ பியூட்டிஃபுல் எக்ஸ்பிளனேஷன் பை டீச்சிங் ஆஃப் சத்குரு and not only that veda very important the teaching of the vedantic statements and the teaching of the sadguru the teacher has to teach unfold the what the teacher unfold should not be his or her own story her own stuff okay reels it must be the teaching of the vedantic statements the teacher can be the teacher can unfold the teacher can teach but what must be the content must be vedantic statement from the vedantic statements only without the vedanta shastra pramanam if any teacher teaches anything and the teacher can speak anything but if it is not based on the vedantic teaching if it is not the unfoldment of the mahavakyams then there is no sampradaya because he is not operating the pramanam he is not operating the appropriate pramanam then his teaching is not acceptable his teaching cannot be accepted if you accept it will not give you any vision it cannot this it may sound interesting in the beginning it will not remove your vagueness at all the teacher can be called a sampradaya with teacher the teacher who knows the method of unfoldment only if he the shastra pramanam because methodology is inbuilt in the vedanta shastra pramanam And for a person to operate the Vedanta Shastram, the Pramanam, as a means of knowledge, he must know the methodology for which he must have been a student of another teacher who would have taught Vedanta Shastram. Otherwise, the teacher without operating the Pramanam, the teacher just simply talks a lot, convincingly, eloquently, you know, efficiently, impressively. The teacher can speak fluently, but still it is not based on the Vedantic teaching. Then the teacher does not know Sampradaya. The teacher does not know the methodology inbuilt in the Shastra. Then Shankaracharya says in Taittiriya Bhasham somewhere, Asampradaya Vit Murkhavat Upekshaniyaha. The one who does not know the Sampradaya must be ignored like a fool. Means you can have respect, but still he need not, his teaching will not help you at all. He, Shankaracharya says, very vehemently he says, emphasizing the importance of the Sampradaya. So here, the author makes it very clear, evam cha, and in this manner, how does the teaching become clear? Vedanta vakyaihi, because of this unfoldment of the Vedantic Mahavakyams. Only repeatedly unfolding the Vedantic statements, Mahavakyaihi, Vedanta Vakyaihi, and the unfoldment is dependent on what? Sadguru Upadeshena Cha. And because of the unfoldment of the Vedantic statements by a Guru alone, Sarveshu Apibhuteshu, in all the beings, Yesham Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna. Yesham, for whom Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna. Brahma Buddhihi means vision of the reality, vision of the truth implied by the term Brahma. Reality is implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, Brahma Buddhihi means vision of the truth rises, happens. And those people alone, te jivan muktaha bhavanti, they alone become free while living. They alone become liberated while living. So here the teacher makes it very clear. Jivan muktaha bhavanti. Jivan muktaha bhavanti means people jivanneva muktaha. Jivati lives. And what is Shatruanta Shabd? That is present participle jivan. Takarantaha pulling jivan shabdaha. So jivan muktaha. Free while living. Okay. Television pashyan chips kadan television pashyati. How bad it is, isn't it? Chips kadan television pashyati. Like that, jivan muchyate. Living, he is free. Liberated. Jivan muktaha. And jivan muktaha bhavanti. All these people become free, liberated while living in this life itself. They need not wait for the death. We need not die for moksha. Mokshaha, they already take ownership of the freedom, liberation, which is already there as their own very nature. How is it possible? What is important for Brahma Buddhihi? What you need for becoming, being free, or to take ownership of the freedom which is already there, what you need is clear, doubt-free vision of the reality, attaining as one's own self. Brahma Buddhihi, you need Aham Brahma Asmi. Oh, I am consciousness. I, the first person singular pronoun, which is not an object, which is distinct from, you know, the knower. I, the knower, am distinct from known, even ahankara, which comes and goes. And that knower, am I pure consciousness. The illuminator is light. Similarly, knower, I am consciousness. And what is consciousness? Is what? Formless consciousness. All pervasive consciousness. timeless consciousness, pure consciousness, which is always there, is what? There's no knower. Please, you must be convinced right now, in the very class itself, there's no knower other than consciousness. There is abstract, formless reality which knows. Why? Because of its nature of knowing. Just a slight illumines, the conscious, the reality knows. Reality is aware. Reality is conscious. And what is that reality? That's right. The formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, obtaining as the sarupam of the knower, is the truth of I. For I am consciousness. And this consciousness is implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Okay? And therefore, if this is becomes very clear. This must be very clear. There should not be doubt. Repeated listening and repeatedly seeing the fact, dwelling upon this fact, assimilating this fact. If this is called, then Brahma Buddhihi Utpadyate, then there arises the clear, doubt-free vision of the one's own self being Brahma. That Brahma Buddhihi. When that happens, and you effortlessly, you do not become Brahma, you are already Brahma, and which you only take ownership of yourself being already Brahma. How? Aham Brahma Asmi. I have become Brahma, you do not say. You cannot say. I was not Brahma before, now I have become Brahma. No. You understand the fact. I am consciousness. I was Brahma. I am Brahma. I will ever be Brahma. Unfortunately, no vision of myself being already Brahma. Now this vision alone has come. For Brahma Buddhihi comes. You do not attain Brahma, you do not become Brahma. The knowledge of yourself being Brahman alone has come newly. Therefore, Brahma Buddhihi Utpanna. Then, that is when a person immediately becomes what? Simultaneously, he sees himself being free, seeing one self already free, seeing the fact of the self being already free, seeing the self as pure consciousness, Atma, is what? Becoming free while living. Is it clear? Seeing the fact of the self being already free, seeing the self being pure consciousness, Atma, is one becoming free from, one becoming free while living. Jivan Muktaha. Like that, Yesham Brahma Buddhihi Sarveshu Bhuteshu, among all these beings, people who have this clear vision of the self being Brahma, and they alone become Jivan Muktaha. All the beings do not become Brahma. Jivan Muktaha. Yesham Brahma Buddhihi. Those who have clear vision of the self being Brahma. They become Jivan Muktaha. They become free while living. Okay. Now next sentence. Nanu. Always we have questions, isn't it? Something is told means immediately we should object. We ask some question because we do not feel satisfied at all. See, when our understanding is not adequate, the teaching is clean, but the problem is with our antakarna, our own problem. Therefore, always we, Swamiji used to say, munumunuttan. Swamiji used to say, munumunuttan means for always murmuring, you know. It's called munumunuttan. Swamiji used to say munumunuttan in Tamil. It means a murmuring person. You never become satisfied, not because of any defect in the teaching. Upanishad is okay, textbook is okay. The problem is with our understanding, isn't it?
So we have to have some doubts. So here also look at this Nanu. Nanu Jeevan Muktaha Kaha. Oh, when the textbook teacher taught the fact, what is it? Who among all the people, only those people who have the clear vision of the reality. Now, obtaining as one's own sorupam. Those who see one's own real nature being reality in Brahma, they alone become, the perspective changes, they're free. In the clear vision of the self being Brahma, their wrong identity goes, perspective changes. In the perspective self, the error in the perception of the self is corrected, all the wrong notions dissolve, means the samsara also goes. Samsara disappears just when the perspective changes. There's no real samsara. The whole samsara is because of the wrong perception. The wrong perception goes when perception is corrected in right identity. When a person discovers the fact of the self being pure consciousness, formless, abstract, subtlest, the reality, the consciousness, which is of the nature of knowing, which is distinct from the known, everything known, including ahankara, that reality is implied with atma, and I am that consciousness. The person has clear vision of that Brahma as one's own self, then the person becomes free. Means, the jivan muktaha, one who is free while living, the person who is free while living is called liberated while living, free from bondage while living this life, with being endowed with the body, mind, and complex. The person is emotionally free. Physically, the same old fellow, same old person, with the same old weight, same old activities, same old eating, same old life, the person is still there. But the person is emotionally, he is free. He is free. But how can you know? The shastra says such a person is free while living, liberated while living, is no more bound. If you see person who was ignorant, who is jnani now, there's no difference. Physical appearance, there's no difference. So the question is coming, Nanu, Jeevan Muktaha Kaha. Who is Jeevan Muktaha? Jeevan Muktaha Kaha. At least read the sentence now. Jeevan Muktaha Kaha. Who is Jeevan Muktaha? Now answer. Yatha. Please read after me. Yatha. Nanu Jeevan Muktaha Kaha. Now. So Nanu. Who is Jeevan Muktaha? But. Who is Jeevan Muktaha? Who is a liberated person? Who is free person? That is asked. Answer. Yatha. Yatha. Dehaha aham. Ayatha. Dehaha aham. Dehoham. Dehaha aham. Dehoham. You break it. Dehaha aham. Dehoham. I am the body. Body is I. Dehaha aham. I am the body is a notion. Purushoham. Next word is purushoham. You break it. Purushaha aham. Purushaha aham. Purushoham. So I am a man. I am the body. Dehaha aham. Purushaha aham. So dehoham. Purushoham. Then brahmanoham. Brahmanoham. Brahmanaha aham. Brahmanoham. Brahmanaha aham. Brahmanoham. I am a Brahmin. Brahmanaham. Then shudroham. Shudraha aham. Shudroham.
I am a Shudra. Now you can add that I am Englishman, aham, Indian, aham, Hindu, aham, Christian, aham, Muslim, aham, is it? Educated, I am ignorant, I am illiterate, aham. You can add any number of ahams, okay? So you can, I can be, aham, the first person singular pronoun, I can be identified with any number of things. And starting with what? First identity is with this grossest physical body. Dehoham. See, even though we do not think, even though we use expression, my body, my head, my back, still in the somewhere rooted is what? I am the body. We mistake the body for the Atma. We mistake the body as the meaning of the word I. So, dehoham, dehaha, aham, dehoham, shaha, aham, purushoham. So, because identity is the physical body, naturally I am a man. So, also, striyaham, I am a woman, I am a man. Then once you identify with the man, you can, again, even by birth, identity is the birth also. Aham brahmanoham, I am a brahmana. Aham shudroham, I am a shudra. Like that. The identity is the physical body, then all other identity, wrong identity is there. The more of we have, more we entertain notions about the self, based on the identity of the physical body, our ahankara is said to be bloated, fat, okay, ahankara. Okay. Yatha, dehoham, purushoham, brahmanoham, shudroham, asmi iti, dridhanischayaha. Now, asti, asmi, aham, aham brahmanaha, I am a man, I am a woman, I am a brahmana, I am a shudra, I am kshatriya, I am English, I am Tamil, no? I am European, I am Indian, I am Hind, like strong notions, iti, dridha nischayaha, firm understanding, very rooted notion, isn't it? Dridha nischayaha, no? That's a firm understanding, wrong understanding, but very firm. Understanding you have about yourself is very, very strong, very firm, unshakably firm. Dridha nischayaha, no? Strong. Then what happens? Nischayaha tatha. Similarly, in ignorance, you have very strong, firm. Dridha nischayaha, you have rooted notion. Same, yatha. When you have that now, in ignorance, when you are ignorant, how you have firm understanding that you are a body and therefore you are a man or you are a woman or you are a brahmana or you are a kshatriya, etc. How firm you have understanding. Similarly, in the same way, after jnanam, after the attainment of jnanam, you have firm understanding what? In ignorance, you have a dridha nischayaha that I am a body. After jnanam, your dridha nischayaha, he says, naham brahmanaha, na aham brahmanaha, I am not a brahmana, I, the self, am pure consciousness, distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex, am not a brahmana. Aham na brahmanaha. Na shudraha. I am the consciousness. Am I the knower. Am pure consciousness implied by the term Atma. Distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex. Am not a shudraha. Not a man. Na purushaha. Na aham brahmanaha, na aham brahmanaha, न शूद्रः न पुरुषः किन्तु असंगः. I'm not definitely I the know the knower is not the body, mind, sense complex. The knower is pure, formless, abstract reality implied by the term consciousness or Atma. Therefore, I am consciousness means definitely I, the knower, am not the body, not a Brahmana, not a Shudra. Definitely, 100%. In ignorance, you had a very firm understanding. I sense in the body. Now, the same way, firm, clear understanding that you are not, I am not a Brahmana. But what am I now? Not only this, the firm understanding after the attainment of knowledge, understanding is firm not only that you are not a body, not a Shudra, etc., but you have very clear, doubt-free understanding what? Kintu, but I am. Asangaha, untouched. Asangaha, untouched, unattached. How asangaha? See, aham asangaha. I, the self, am consciousness, which is of the nature of untaintedness. Asangaha, untouched. Why? In the presence of light alone, all the opaque things shine. The grass opaque things, all grass forms shine in the presence of the light. Even though there's no distance, light is inseparable. All the objects, opaque things, grass forms, subtle forms, all colors, etc., which shine in the presence of the light are non-different from the light. You cannot take them out of the light. Wherever the color shine, wherever the form shines, any opaque shines, it must shine only in the presence of the light. So all the opaque things which are shining are non-different from the light. At the same time, light is not touched. Light is not tainted by any opaque which shines in the presence of the light. Isn't it true? Is it true or not? Is it clear? Light is, see, in the presence of light alone, opaque things shine. And the opaque thing, light is distinct from the opaque grass forms, subtle forms, everything. Light is distinct. At the same time, all the grass, the physical, all the opaque things which shines in the presence of the light are non-different from the light. Now this light is distinct, is not distant. Light is distinct but not distant. Even though it is not distant, important. Light is not only it is distinct, it is not distant, but still light is not touched, tainted by the presence of the opaque things in the light. Light is asangaha. The colors do not make the light colorful. The dirt which shines in the light does not make the light dirty. The forms which shine in the light do not make the light formed. Light is untouched. Similarly, the grossest example you understand. This pure awareness, pure the reality, abstract reality, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure awareness, which implied with the term Atma, which is of the nature of knowing, which is arrived at as the Swarupa of the knower, is also untouched, untainted by ignorance. Total ignorance which shines in deep sleep state, untouched by total ignorance, untainted by the dream thoughts, dream world, untouched, unafflicted by the waking universe, unafflicted by the thoughts,
emotions, all very various, varied forms of thoughts, unaffected by anything which shines in the presence of consciousness. And when it's manifest consciousness, nothing is affected by anything. Consciousness is ever untouched, ever unafflicted, untainted, asangaha. So now, how firm wrong understanding he had before, firm wrong understanding he had before the knowledge. Now after the attainment of knowledge, this person is a firm same, the firmness is the same, but understanding is different. Now right understanding this person has. So naham brahmanaha, naham shudraha, naham. Now, I'm not body, I'm not this Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, what am I? But I am untainted, I am pure, I'm reality, obtaining a pure consciousness, which is untainted, untouched, asangaha. And what is that? What is the Swarupam now? What is the Swarupam of I then? Satchidananda Swarupaha. Which you already seen, understood that earlier, but now it is made, because when he explains who is Jivan Muktaha, the person who is said to be a Jivan Muktaha, a person who is said to be liberated while living, must be having this clear vision, aham asangaha, untouched by pairs of opposites, untouched by pain, pleasure, etc., untouched by victory, defeat, etc., honor, dishonor, etc., untouched by all experiences, untouched by desirable, undesirable situations, untouched by time, space, untouched by, unaffected by the pairs of opposites, all experiences, ever free. Now, asangaha, now he says, Satchidananda Swarupaha. Satchidananda Swarupaha. I, the self, am of the nature of Satchit Anandaha. So, I didn't know where I am, abstract reality. And what is the nature of reality? I am of the nature of pure consciousness, Chit, knowledge. And what is this Chit? It is a chit which alone obtains in the form of existence of everything. Existence of everything. Existence of the ahankara, existence of memory, existence of mind, emotions, existence of knowledge, existence of ignorance, existence of the dream world, existence of the gross universe, existence of actions, existence of results of actions, existence of activities, motions, existence of functions, existence of experience of results, existence of laws, existence of results of actions, existence of actions, existence of experiences, existence of the whole jagat is existence of the whole is a thing but pure consciousness. Satchideva Sat. Okay. Everything exists in consciousness. Just as all the waves exist in the water. So water is in the form of existence of the waves. Now everything here exists in consciousness, in awareness. Therefore everything, consciousness is in the form of existence of everything. Sat Swarupaha. Chit Swarupaha, then Sat Swarupaha. Why I change it now? Because we have to arrive at reality only in the form of Chit first. You have to arrive at reality only in the form of Chit as your own Swarupam. Then you understand it is this Chit is in the form of Sat of the whole cosmos. Sat Swarupaha. And this Sat Chit, this consciousness obtaining in the form of existence of the whole. Now question comes, why does consciousness exist? Okay, consciousness lends existence to the whole world. Consciousness obtains in the form of existence of the whole. Why does consciousness exist? Because being is its nature. It is. Why is it? It is. The word Swarupam, existence is the Swarupam. Okay? The consciousness obtaining in the form of existence of the whole world, whole Jagat, is what? Is of the nature of existence. Because being existent is its Swarupam. Satchit. And it is this abstract reality arrived at, understood in terms of its nature of consciousness and also in the form of existence of the world. Satchit is implied by the term Atma, Satchit Atma. And this consciousness, which is existence, is Anantam also. Anantaha or Anantam? It is of the nature of limitlessness. It has no Anta. It has no end. It has no end. It has no limitation. Antaha means end. Antaha also means limitation. No anta. No end. It has no beginning. No end. Therefore, it has no cause. Therefore, it has no dependence. And therefore, it has no beginning. Causeless. It is no beginningless. Therefore, causeless. Therefore, independent. And we say what? This is beginningless, endless, therefore timeless. Nityaha. Kalastaha parichinnaha. Timeless, limitless. Now, space itself comes and goes. Space itself enjoys existence in awareness. Even space, the vast space does not have existence outside of awareness. Unarvandri verengu oreimo. Now where will this space exist? Other outside of consciousness. Unarvandri verengu oreimo. Where will it exist? It cannot go away from consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is spatially also limitless. See, it's not simply talking. It's not simply blabbering. It is not simply repeating what is said here. It is seeing. It is what is being seen is revealed to you now, and you must be able to see it also. You must see this now, right now. It may be difficult for you to remember, it may be difficult to assimilate, but you must see this. This must be very clear right now. So the space surely also limitless, and therefore, which object exists outside of consciousness? Everything other than consciousness is object of knowledge. Okay. Consciousness is the swarupam of the subject. Consciousness is the swarupam of the object. There's no knower other than consciousness. Knowledge without consciousness. There's no known outside of consciousness. Therefore, every known is not known is inert matter. Known is the matter. Known is of the nature of inertness, and this inert known object of knowledge does not have independent existence outside of consciousness. Therefore, it is non-different from consciousness. Just as opaque thing is non-different from light, because opaque thing does not have existence outside of. It will lose its status of being existent outside of the light. Similarly, here all the entire objective universe, right from Ahankara, time, including time and space, all the forms, names and functions, subtle and gross, everything, unmanifest, manifest, everything, any object of knowledge, it doesn't, is non-different from consciousness. It doesn't have it doesn't have existence at all independently. So what? That is why this world is non-countable. The objective universe right from Ahankara. Ahankara. The knowledge of the existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world, memory, intellect, you know, everything, mind, emotions, and all the thoughts, the physical body, the entire external world, objective universe, nothing is different from awareness. It is non-countable as a parallel reality, even though it is completely its inert matter,
still it is non-different from pure consciousness, pure awareness. Therefore, we are making a biggest, most difficult, toughest equation. The whole objective universe is the gross, grosser, grossest matter is even subtle, subtler, subtlest matter, gross, grosser, grossest matter. The matter in its entirety is this most abstract consciousness, because it is non-countable as a parallel reality. It is non-different from consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is object-wise also limitless. There's not even one object of knowledge which is not, which is different from consciousness. Time, space, all the forms, aims and functions which exist within the realm of time and space are non-different from consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is free from object limitation also. And these threefold limitations are not there. Therefore, being limitless, time-wise, spatially, object-wise, being limitless is not an effort. Effortless is made of abstract reality consciousness. Therefore, it is Sachidananda Swarupaha. And this consciousness is Asangaha. Asangaha. Sachidananda Swarupaha, beautiful next is what? Prakasha Rupaha. Prakasha Rupaha. This is a very important word. You know why Prakasha Rupaha? Prakashaha, Kash is the root. Kashate is the verb. Pra is a prefix. Prakashate, Kashate means shines. And Prakashaha means light. Suryasya prakashaha, agnehe prakashaha, chandrasya prakashaha, light of sun, light of moon, light of fire. You can say that effulgence of fire, moon, sun, etc. You can say. And here, atmanaha prakashaha, light of consciousness, light of sun, light of moon, light of fire. What is light? Effulgence is the nature. Luminosity is the nature of any light. And here, the light of consciousness is the absolute light. Light of all other luminaries is what? Relative light. And absolute light is light of consciousness. Consciousness is not light. Please understand. The pure consciousness, abstract, formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is not light. That is why in meditation, if you happen to see any light, that don't mistake that light for, oh, I have that light, blue light came, red light came. No light should come. Okay? If any light comes, let the light come, let the kite be there, let the light go. Okay? You have a nice fun. But I tell you, the problem is people always have this, I meditated, I had this light. Experiences are possible, but anything seen, known, if it is object of experience, I tell you, Shastram repeatedly says, no, anything known, experienced, object of experience is what? Anatma. And we enter in Atma, which is not an object. Therefore, when we are here, Prakasha Swarupaha means light of sun illumines opaque things in the presence of, in the waking state. Light of moon illumines thing in the evening. And the light of fire also illumines sometimes. Okay? Any light is self-luminary. Any light, what we say, self-luminous and luminary has its own light. But the absolute light is the light of consciousness. How do you say that? Consciousness is not the light. Which means that which illumines is light. That which lends existence is light. That which brings light, brings an object to light is light. If some object remains covered in darkness and the light comes, the light chases the, drives away the darkness and brings that object which remains hidden in darkness to light. Light brings an object which is covered in darkness to light. Similarly, our consciousness also brings objects to light. Is it clear? Consciousness brings objects to light. How? Not by doing anything, just by its mere presence, by knowing. Knowing is illumining. Knowing is the nature, therefore illumining is the nature. We say consciousness also is like the light, because sense organs illumine the external world, mind illumines the sense organs, and consciousness illumines the mind, thereby it illumines the entire world. So consciousness is not the light, but the light, absolute light, is light of consciousness. Because of which the mind is illumined. Because of which sense organs are illumined. Because of which all the so-called external, the lights are in, all the external lights are, relative lights are illumined. The seeing power is not there. Sun will not be there. Moon will not be there. Sun, moon, fire, all sources of light will be non-existent if there is no seeing power. Isn't it true? The seeing power alone illumines all the sources of light. And mind illumines all the seeing power, all sense powers. And consciousness illumines the mind, not by any action, just by its mere presence. Therefore, light of the lights, absolute light, is conscious. Consciousness is not the light, but there is no better light, there is no absolute light other than consciousness. Consciousness is not the light, but absolute light is consciousness. Is it clear? Because consciousness by its presence illumines, lends existence. Knowing is illumining. Knowing is lending existence. And knowing is Swarupam. Therefore, illumining is the nature of consciousness. Okay, that's why it's called Paranjyotihi. Paranjyoti. Jyoti Swarupa. We say Prakash Swarupaha. If we separate, we say differentiated now. Prakash Swarupaha. Then Sarvantaryami. 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 Sarvantaryami means what? Sarva Antaryami. Sarveshu Bhuteshu. Antaha sthitva yamayati iti sarvantaryami. That which rules everything, remaining as the innermost essence of all the beings. Sarvan, in your mind, my mind, her mind, his mind, their mind, Idi's mind. In the entire world, all the human beings are because of their minds. The human life, human activities are all because of the minds. And behind all the minds, innumerable countless minds of innumerable countless beings, people, only one truth. The innermost essence of all these minds is one indivisible, partless whole consciousness. Minds are so many, but consciousness is one. That's why we say Sarvantaryami. Antaryami means the abstract reality obtaining as the innermost essence of all the minds, all the beings. Not only the human beings, in fact, all the beings also.
that one who rules, you know, Yamayati, is what? Sarvantaryami. Sarvantaryami.
Chidakasha Rupaha Asmi. Chidakasha Rupaha. Chideva Akashaha Chidakashaha.
Understand, the space which we experience outside is called space, Akashaha. You know, the space which we experience outside is an object. You know, the space which I'm experiencing, in which the space is one indivisible, partless whole. The subtlest of the elements is space, which is known by the term Akashaha. Why space is known by the term Akashaha? Because it shines everywhere. Asamantat kashate iti Akashaha. You know, asamantat kashate iti akashaha. Asamantat kashate iti akashaha. That which shines everywhere is called space, akasha. So, we say, this is akasha, and chit is also akashaha. This is a element space, and consciousness also is known by the term akashaha. The word akashaha is used to mean, the word akasha indicates a space directly. The word akashaha also implies reality, the consciousness. You know why? Akashaha, because space is all accommodative. Everything is accommodated in space. And the space itself is accommodated in consciousness. Is it clear now? Everything accommodated in consciousness. Sorry, space. But where is space accommodated? What is the locus of space? Where does space, everything exists in space. Isn't it? Everything exists in space. Space also exists in time. It comes and goes. But time and space, where do the time and space exist? Time and space do not have independent existence of their own. That's why time is relative. Hey, space is relative. It took so many years for the physicists to declare this fact. Time is relative. Okay? And Shastram says, it's a timeless fact for us. Time is relative. Because space doesn't exist outside of consciousness. And all space shines everywhere. There's no place where space is not. Therefore, space is spatially limitless element. Space is spatially limitless element. But space also is time bound. Space has spatially limitless. Space has time limitation and object limitation. And the spatially limitless space is all accommodative, accommodates everything. Space is the locus in which everything exists. And this spatially limitless space in which everything is accommodated, which shines everywhere, does not have independent existence. Space itself shines in consciousness. Space shines in consciousness only. Therefore, consciousness also is said to be the space which pervades the all-pervasive space. Consciousness is the most pervasive, absolutely all-pervasive space which pervades even the so-called all-pervasive space. Is it clear? Space is relatively all-pervasive. Absolutely all-pervasive is space, consciousness, because consciousness pervades even space. Therefore, chit is consciousness, is said, implied by the term akashaha, chidakashaha, chidakashaswarupaha, asmi iti appa. Now, how do you see yourself now?
You do not see yourself as aham brahmanaha, aham kshatriyaha, aham dehaha, aham purushaha, aham stri. No. Now how do you see yourself? Before jnanam, you were so firm. When you are the grossest minded, first time when people go to Vedanta class, okay? The very first day of Vedanta class. And the teacher, immediately the Drukti Shiveka Prakriya is done. Oh my God, big shock. You know why? Yes, the teaching doesn't contradict. I am the knower. Yes, the body is known to me. So body is object of knowledge. I, the knower, am distinct from the body. The big blow. The big leap in understanding. All these days, a very strong I sense in the body. Dehya Atma Buddhihi. No, suddenly, I am distinct from the body. Listen. Now listening. It becomes very clear. Initially, the very nischeha. Aham deha iti nischeha is very, dhida nischeha was there. Now after jnanam, listening, repeated listening. Yes, I didn't know, I am the knower, distinct from this. A knower is pure, subtlest abstract reality, which is of the nature consciousness. And what am I now? Satchidananda swarupaha, sarvantaryami, chidakasha swarupaha. Asmi aham iti dridha nischayaha. Okay? The firm understanding. Definitely, I am consciousness. Which I am the abstract reality, Atma, which is of the nature of consciousness, existence, limitless reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of all the beings, and which is the all, which is the akasha, consciousness, which is the space, a consciousness which pervades even this space. We imply the term chidakasha. I am that atma. Okay. Iti chidakara rupaha asmi iti dhrida nischaya rupaha. It is firm understanding of the self is called what? Beautiful here he says. If this knowledge is there, dhrida nischayaha, aparoksha jnanavan, jivan muktaha. So jivan mukta is the one who has the clear vision that I am of consciousness of this nature, iti, and this consciousness for him is not an object. What is consciousness for a wise person? For a wise person, the abstract formless reality obtaining in him of consciousness is not an object. It is not even a subject. What is it then? It is the swarupam, the very truth of the knower. The true swarupam of the knower means it is the very self. And he has arrived at reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, not as an object or subject, but as the very truth of I, one's own real nature. Therefore, he is what? Aparoksha jnanavan. He has taken ownership of consciousness as one's own real nature. Is seeing the consciousness as the immediate self. Seeing the consciousness as the immediate self. Which is not an object known through any of the, he does not arrive at the reality as object through any other means of knowledge. He arrives at reality as the very immediate self. And arriving at the reality as the immediate self and the very content of I is called aparoksha jnanam. And the person who has the aparoksha jnanam is said to be aparoksha jnanavan. Aparoksha Jnanavan means the person for whom the reality is not an object, indirect object or direct object, but it is the immediate self. Aparoksha Jnanavan is the one for whom the abstract formless reality obtaining in the form of consciousness is not an indirect object or direct object of knowledge. It is the very immediate self, the swarupam of the knower. Okay? Acha person is said to be aparoksha jnanavan. And he is said to be jivan muktaha. Is it clear? I tell you one thing. Jnanam, pratyaksha jnanam means direct knowledge. Paroksha jnanam means indirect knowledge. Pratyaksha jnanam is also knowledge of an direct knowledge of an object is called pratyaksha jnanam. Direct knowledge of an object is pratyaksha jnanam. Suppose I describe to you how Manjakkudi lives. You have not gone there. I describe about Manjakkudi. Manjakkudi looks like this. Manjakkudi is like this. This is how it is. There is a lotus pond. There is that. There is. I will describe to you and you come to know about me. You have a knowledge of Manjakkudi, but it is indirect knowledge. Okay? Or even I can even play video clip and show you. Still, it is only what? Indirect knowledge only. It's called Paroksha Jnanam of Manjakkudi. And you yourself buy ticket and come to Manjakkudi and see directly. And you say what? That is Pratyaksha Jnanam of Manjakkudi. Pratyaksha Jnanam or Paroksha Jnanam, both is what? Direct or indirect knowledge is always of an object. But here, when you arrive at the abstract formless reality, is not an object at all. How do you arrive at the reality? You arrive at the reality not as an object, but as the swarupam, as the truth of the subject, the knower. After having arrived at the truth of the knower, you understand from the standpoint of reality, reality is the truth of both knower and the known, but it is distinct, it is neither the knower nor the known. Is it clear? Therefore, the person who understands the reality, for him reality is not an object, pratyaksha jnanam. Pratyaksha jnana vishayaha, it is not an object of direct knowledge. Atma is an object of indirect knowledge also. Atma is neither an object at all of a direct or indirect knowledge. Atma is the very truth of the subject. Atma for him is the immediate self, very content of I. And is what now? Aparoksha jnanam. Atma is knowledge of the self is not pratyaksha jnanam, not paroksha jnanam. It is aparoksha jnanam. Is it clear? So, when he arrives at it, no means of knowledge. There is no means of knowledge in between you, the knower, and the known atma. Is it clear? Your own self. So such a person of aparoksha jnanam is called aparoksha jnanavan. And he is jivan muktaha. For him, the abstract formless reality consciousness is the content of I. Therefore, it's an immediate self. Atma is immediate self. Aparoksha jnanam is immediate knowledge. Okay. And he is, for him, Atma is the content of I, means, for he has a clear vision of what I am. Therefore, wrong notions will resolve. There's no erroneous notion about the self in different perspective. Therefore, the bondage, samsara, is resolved while living, and he is free while living. Is it clear? So, the more you understand, the more things become clear. The all emotional trauma, the misery, the suffering we go through is purely because of our placing the I in wrong place. Shastram, how much Shastram is? See, the problems are there. We are not saying problems are not there. The problem is a problem only when it's centered on I. Problem is a problem only if it's centered on I. I suffer is the problem. I have is the problem. If you see, where is I having the problem? Where does I have the problem? What is that I? You say that I has a problem. Is it clear? Just pick that I separately. What is the substance of the substantive I? What is the content of the I? What is the meaning of this expression I? It is there as one of the I is a first person singular pronoun, is there as one of the many aspects. It is at least the most important aspect, and which forms part of many other aspects which constitute the individual human being. There cannot be an individual human being without this I sense, I cognition. But this I alone is not a human being. I sense obtaining in the form of thought alone is not a human being. Without the I sense, there cannot be a human being. But I sense alone does not make a human being. I sense is one of the many subtle aspects. But the first and the foremost subtle aspects. Vritti. You know, it forms part of the mind, antahkaranam. Apart from antahkaranam, it still has so many other aspects. There are thoughts pertaining to memory. There are thoughts pertaining to, knowledge, understanding, etc. The thoughts pertaining to emotions. So many varieties of thoughts constitute the antahkaranam. There, first and the foremost, the important of the thoughts, because of the presence of which all the thoughts are possible, that cognition is what I cognition. Distinct, but not distant. One of the aspects, subtlest aspects, the most important aspect, the highest of manifestation of matter. And this distinct from all other thoughts, distinct from the entire antahkaranam, not distinct from antahkaranam, distinct from antahkaranam, distinct from minds, are distinct from what? The pranas, other powers. All powers are distinct from the physical body. If an individual is a composition of so many aspects, and this I sense, which is part of the individual human being, is distinct from other aspects, but we don't see that. This I is identified with all the aspects of an individual. That's called erroneous person. Lie is located, placed, misplaced, wrongly placed, everywhere. Therefore, the problem is a problem only if it is centered on I. I am going to die is the problem. Somebody is dying. That's all. Finished. Nothing affects more than that. I am going to die. I will die. That is the problem. Of course, you may feel sad, upset, other person is dying, known person is dying. But still, it is nothing like that. You see, if we do not know what Maranabhayam is when you are very healthy,
really something comes, you're going to diamonds, you do not know how it will be. The whole Shastram says, is all the perspective, what we need is perspective change, and you have to see the subtlest, abstract, but amazing, non-refutable fact that I is nothing but pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and which is indestructible. If this fact is understood, the all the problems centered on I will resolve, will disappear like anything. Then this fact is assimilated, then definitely there is Jivan Muktihi, freedom from misery while living this life. Scott, so Jivan Muktaha Kaha, answer is given. Any doubt here?
Swamini, excuse me, yeah. I have one question about Sanskrit.
Yeah.
There is written Prakasha Rupaha.
Yeah.
And not Prakasha Swarupaha. Is
yeah, okay. It is consciousness. See, consciousness is of light. It's okay, no problem. Prakasha Swarupaha also becomes another place. The nature is effulgence, prakasha swarupaha. Consciousness is in the form of all illumining light. Consciousness is in the form of light, which lights up the mind, which lights up the sense organs, which light up the external world.
One question.
Yeah.
Why do we identify with thoughts and feelings as myself?
That's why I said, see, the wrong identity with the thoughts and thereby sense organs and body, the wrong identity is natural because it is not something crime. Wrong identity is not a crime. It is very natural. Why it is? Because there's naturally ignorance of what I is. Ignorance of what I is naturally there. It is uncreated. Natural ignorance is there. So naturally there is wrong identity. That is why there is nothing to be condemned here. Nothing deserves any condemnation. This is Shastram objectively helps you understand the situation. How the situation, what the situation is. When a human mind, as a human being, as a thinker, is only suffering, going through a lot of emotional issues and problems and suffering. And this, when the solution is searched, oh, why there is suffering? Why there is pain? Why there is burden? Isn't it? Emotionally, we feel loaded, heavy. We feel so heavy mentally. It's inexplicable pain, isn't it? This emotionally we feel burdened, heavy, loaded. Why? All suffering. What is it all about? Then the Shastra gives an answer. Is all this, if you want a light mind, you want to really undo your weight, heavy, heaviness, loaded, is purely because of the wrong, misplaced I. Wrong, erroneous perception of the self, which results in the wrong notion about the self. Nothing to be condemned here. It's very natural. So the reason is there is naturally ignorance of what I am. See, knowledge of the existence of the self itself is a natural manifestation. You, without your effort, there's already knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. But what is this knowledge of the existence of the self? What is this knowledge of the existence of the self? It comes and goes. It is, there's a time it is not there. There's a time it is. Where does it come from? Where does it exist? Isn't it? That we do not know. So, Shastra study helps us to inquire.
With the help of the Shastra, when we inquire into this nature of this truth of this knowledge. Actually, you are asked to distinguish this knowledge from the rest of the objects of knowledge. Then you understand what this knowledge is about. What is the source of it? That's what needs an initiative on the part of a human being. And the scripture helps us to understand that. Luckily, we have our ancestors, the elders, in the teachers who guide us. And they used this shastram, they benefited, so they tell us. And we, that's why in India, we just respect. Because we trust. And then we follow. So then you understand. The shastra study helps us understand the fact. That's all. In fact, we do not even ask the question why and all. Why? Because the shastra study helps us understand our ignorance itself. Unless and until you expose such teaching, you will not even know that there is ignorance. You are ignorant of the very self. It is not known to you. Understanding and being convinced of the fact that I am ignorant, there is ignorance of the self. Then this study helps you to discover what this knowledge is all about. So, when in the right perspective of what I am, the problem centered on I resolves for good. So having the problem centered on I resolved is Jivan Mukti. In fact, having the problem centered on I resolved is Jivan Mukti. See, if somebody else is, somebody very, my closest friend, thickest friend, my dearest husband, my dearest wife, my dearest children, somebody died means what? You feel so emotionally difficult. But still finish doesn't matter. Still you are okay. Because somebody else is going to die. That's some problem. Okay? So not that much. See, please understand, the problem is centered on I. So having the fundamental problem, the problem being centered on I has to be resolved. Resolving the problem centered on I is Jivan Mukti. We are not solving, undoing any problem in the world. Social problems, economic problems, those problems will remain. Those problems will be there and we will know how to find a solution. We will live. The all problems we can live. I tell you, with the hundreds and thousands of innumerable countless problems, you can live peacefully. With all the so-called worldly problems, adhyatmic, and all the tapas, you can live comfortably. If the problem centered on I is resolved. Okay? And this wrong identity is purely because of ignorance. He did not know what I is. It is natural. Nobody has created this. That's why we never ask. If there's a creation, if there's a creation, there's a creator, the creator who has created this, then you can find fault with the creator. We say there's no creator because there's no creation. What is only manifestation? So then you understand that very truth, you will resolve yourself into the truth. You see yourself as the truth. Finished. If there's a creator really created this universe and you can go and fight with him or her. And you can say, God, very partial, that, this, all complaints. Poor God, he escapes very well. That's why, God is always safe. He is not reachably far for you. Vagrant of God. Not far, because there's no creation at all. There's no creator. There's no God or Lord other than the truth. I'm not talking about like talking like an atheist. I tell you, for me, the Lord, what is only the Lord in the form of truth. I'm not saying there's no God. I'm saying what is there's only the Lord in the form of the truth. Not atheist. What is only the Lord? In the form of the truth, only there's the Lord. And it is everything. So there's no creator. So you can't blame the creator also. Why did God create like this? There's only, we're understanding what is in evolution. What is naturally there. And human mind is capable of penetrating and finding out all these facts. But here, with reference to the understanding of the fact that all that is only the Lord which is known of nothing but the truth, and the truth is the truth of everything, which is distinct from the knower and the known, distinct from everything, obtaining as the truth of I. To discover this fact, you need a means of knowledge called a Shastra. Okay, that is why we have great reverence for Veda Shastra. The problems pertaining to the world have always been there. Economic, social, political, natural crisis, always been there. All these problems, of course, really a problem. But still, we will know how to live prudently, intelligently, how we'll find ways how to live this life. That will not really, emotionally will not be affected by those problems. And so Shastram repeats this fact, the fundamental problem, okay, is centered on I. Common human fundamental problem. Common human fundamental problem is centered on I. And which is this problem can be resolved. How? By just understanding what I is. It is resolved, then there's different perspective in the wake of the knowledge. In the wake of the knowledge of what I is, the fundamental problem is, wrong notions are resolved, fundamental problem is resolved, there's different perspective, then the person is Jivan Muktaha. And he's free from all the problems. Problems will be there. But he will see himself being free from problems. Seeing oneself being free from problems. The right perspective of what I am. So that is what is Jivan Mukti. I think time now to Atavada class is over. Is it clear now? That's why the more we understand, the questions will resolve. Vedanta does not answer to these questions. Why God created? Why there is creation? Why there are these problems? Well, does not answer these questions. What does Vedanta do then? When you study Vedanta, understand the facts gradually, the more and more we understand, the more clarity enhances, these questions will resolve. You don't find an answer, the very questions will disappear. So having the questions resolved is what? Is as good as having the questions answered. So Jivan Muktaha Kaha. Now please go back and read again. See, and you can see, I gave a homework in the very beginning. You all have got Swamiji Satyabodha book. Now you must read that. After I teach, you must go back and read it. And when you read any page, any doubt you have, please mark it and bring it to me. That's for further assimilation. Okay.
Tattvabodha class is over.